The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. How about the Minnesota Vikings? Jeez, they are 13-2. They had that ridiculous victory yesterday in 12th man country up against the Seattle Seahawks by a final score of 27-24. We're now talking about this team potentially getting the number one seed in the NFC. I would have never thought that before the year. So let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a former Vikings linebacker. He's been a part of their radio network for a long time, and that's our pal, Ben Lieber. Ben, I know you're probably in a good mood today, so thanks for doing this. How you been?
Zach, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, look, anytime you're a part of the team and the team wins, it's a good day. And thankfully, we've done this, you know, a few times this year, especially when games really matter.
So there's always this thought with the Vikings, regardless of how good their record is. Yeah, but there's going to be the other shoe that falls. There's always a yeah, but. You feel like this team is different at 13-2, and they're a lot different than the team a few years ago that put us through some similar things. Why do you feel like this team is truly different being around them all the time?
You know, it's a hard thing to really put your finger on. It's just a feeling that you have when you're around the team. There's no ego. There's no one group of guys or a group of guys that you feel like is going to sink the ship. Everybody's in it together. That whole buy-in thing that every coach talks about and they just really, really want from your locker room. I think this team bought in very, very early. And especially for a team that has a lot of different faces on the defense. And especially when you talk about Sam Darnold, that's obviously the most important position in all of sports. He's new to the team and nobody really knew how he was going to pan out. And he's done a fantastic job playing MVP level. But there is that intangible, that it factor that I think this team has. They've won in a variety of different ways. You know, sometimes the offense has not played very well and sometimes the defense has not played very well. And then special teams have been consistent all throughout the year. And we got a rookie kicker as well. So there's just something, you know, super special and fascinating with this team. And let's just hope. I mean, I know things can change kind of on a dime, especially late in the season. They got two tough ones to close it out. Let's hopefully they can do that.
I also don't want to overlook this, and I know people in Minnesota don't, and that's the play of Justin Jefferson. He's their best player, and he's also their most valuable. And it's rare in this league that a quarterback isn't your most valuable player. You have a few other instances like TJ Watt with the Steelers, Saquon Barkley with the Philadelphia Eagles. But for a guy to be that great and never really show his ego as well, because sometimes receivers could really derail a team, and he opens up the field for everybody else, and he's still able to produce at an elite level for himself individually. I don't think you could put a, I know they paid him a lot, but I really don't think you could put a value on what that does for a team.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, the value, Zach. And when they were talking about giving him a contract extension, you know, I, like millions of other Vikings fans out there, were saying, just sign the guy. I mean, yeah, he's worth it. Whatever that's going to be, just sign him, because there are those intangibles that you really can't see on paper. I mean, he's a great leader in the locker room. He works hard at practice every day. He's a good mentor to a lot of the younger receivers. He's a superstar in the best possible way, where He knows it. If you guys, if anybody watched the receiver show on Netflix, like he gets it. He has self-awareness, which I gotta be honest, and I'm sure you've been around a lot of professional athletes. Some guys have it and some guys don't. And he's a superstar that actually has self-awareness. So he knows sort of when to turn on that charisma and when to turn it off. He can't be that persona all the time. He's relatable. And I think that's the best thing about him. I mean, and I'm just talking about what he does off the field and in the locker room. So I think that he's a guy that you absolutely needed to have as your core foundation for what you're building on this football team, because it resonates so far and wide beyond the wide receiver room, beyond the offense, beyond the defense and the team. It really resonates throughout the whole organization, and he gets it.
I also think a big thing, Ben Lieber, too, in this new age of an era of football, where I think when it comes to coaches, we all get caught up, is he an offensive guy or defensive guy? The really successful coaches now are the guys that are player coaches, but they're not doormats. And Kevin O'Connell is the definition of that, because he is player friendly, but when he speaks, the players also know that he means business. And he's created a really special and fun culture there in Minnesota.
Yeah, he really has. And that really, like every great coach, it's not only just finding the right players, but finding the right coaches. And I think every coach is sort of singing the same tune. And have Brian Flores take over that defense and basically withhold the same expectations, maybe in a different style, but it's still a respected style. Guys look up to him. He relates to these players, contrary to what maybe the national, thought is on Brian Flores. We've seen none of that here. And, it's going to be sad to probably lose this guy here pretty soon. But I look at KOC as, again, sort of the right blend of charisma. He can relate to the players age-wise, kind of what they're going through. You know, all the new age players, you hear these older coaches say like, oh, they always have to know the why. Like, can't we just like tell them to do something? Well, he understands that. Coaching is the why. I mean, coaching is teaching, and he's a great teacher. But at the same time, don't let that SoCal smile sort of, whisk you away. I mean, he's going to hold these guys to a high standard. He demands it. And he doesn't have to rule with this iron fist. Guys just know what the expectation is and what the ramifications are if they don't withhold that.
Ben Lieber here with us. When it comes to Coach of the Year, I could give you like 8 to 10 guys that are worthy of the award this year. If I had to narrow that list down to two, I think it's either going to be your guy, Kevin O'Connell, or it's going to be Dan Quinn with the Commanders of what he's done. Give me the argument why it should be Kevin O'Connell if you believe that he should be Coach of the Year.
Well, I just think you look at what the expectations were. I mean, same thing with Dan Quinn. I mean, they had lower expectations, I think, nationally. They didn't know what they had out of their quarterback. But I think when you look at where we've gone with Sam Darnold, who everybody thought was a castaway, everybody thought that his career was over. The reclamation project that's taken place is unbelievable. It's hard to really put into words. And again, you look at the way that they rebuilt the defense. They've completely surpassed what the expectations were. Now they're fighting for a chance to win the division and be the number one seed and get that bye week. I mean, there's a level of success that the Commanders have had, but I look at what KOC's done, and he's even elevated that even higher to put the team and the organization in the position that they're in right now. So, the proof's in the pudding, and he's certainly been in the kitchen cooking.
I know you said it's tough to put it into words what Sam Darnold has done this year, but how do you try to attempt to put it into words? Because, hey, I live in New York. I was here when Sam Darnold was known for getting mono and seeing ghosts, and he was a complete afterthought. And what he's done this year, I like pinch myself because it's just unbelievable to see.
Yeah, there's this exponential amount of growth that we've seen out of him from the time in training camp where he and JJ McCarthy, according to a lot of sources inside, were actually neck and neck. And that's not a slide on Sam. That really was like more of a feather in the cap to JJ. They're like, this guy is accelerating way faster than we thought. He's going to be more pro ready than we thought. And then obviously with the injury, Sam takes over, and you look at where he's gone from just understanding the offense, winning over the locker room, the leadership, all that stuff. But it's the progression of his anticipation within the passing routes and the way that he commands this offense. I mean, he made some really kind of dumb, foolish mistakes early in the season, and he grew past that. He didn't listen to all the critics. He didn't like think about, oh, this is just what my career is. I'm just going to kind of like go back to this average quarterback. He's pushed beyond that. And, you know, that's him. That's KOC. That's Wes Phillips. All the people offensively. But I look at his development, not only just from a character, the respect in the locker room, but again, the way that he anticipates in this offense. You watch these games and he's throwing receivers open. He wasn't really necessarily doing that at the start of the season. And then on top of that, his pocket awareness is just outstanding. I mean, the way that he can athletically get out of trouble. Look, it's not Caleb Williams like, but he can extend plays, I think, better than a lot of people really thought he was going to, and he can get the ball down the field in a hurry, and he's so precise. So everything that you're looking for, at least in this style of offense, he checks every box.
And really, that throw to Jefferson to win the game encapsulates where he is at right now, because the mobility, the way he was able to escape, make a really athletic throw, and don't get me wrong, it was a heck of a catch by Justin Jefferson as well, but you know, people get so caught up, Ben Lieber, when you say, oh, someone's a system quarterback. Like, it's not rocket science with these young quarterbacks. They're all individually talented, but if they're not with the right coaching, if they don't have a lot of talent around them, it's very tough for a quarterback to succeed in this league.
It really is, and that's why I think that, you know, KOC has proven that quarterbacks deserve a second, maybe third chance. I mean, look at Baker Mayfield, and, yeah. You know, I've been a huge fan of Baker even when he came out, but I think he probably admits maybe, you know, maturity wasn't where it needs to be. You know, that's just part of the growth. Maybe the system wasn't really working there in Cleveland. You know, all these things you learn from as you go down their own journey, and you look at Sam's situation, and they specifically targeted him and looked at him for a lot of the things. You know, KOC's always talked about when he looks at quarterbacks, whether they're veterans, whether they're rookies coming out of college, accuracy. That's the one thing he loved out of Kirk Cousins, accuracy. You have to be accurate. It's a hard thing to teach, especially when you're moving up a level from college to the NFL. And Sam had that. And also, this is a deep ball offense. Now, it's maybe not like Norv Turner of old, where you're really, really chucking the ball down the field. But you look at the number of air yards that Kirk's had, that anybody, you know, Nick Mullins when he's in there, and then you get Sam in there as well. He wants to get the ball down the field, and Sam has the arm strength to do that. The athleticism on top of it is just the cherry on top.
And you know the big debate now, there will be some fans that will say, you got to bring back Sam. You got to re-sign him. Other fans will say, you know what, you're going to trust Kevin O'Connell. You're going to go with J.J. McCarthy, and Sam will go somewhere else. I feel like in what will happen, it's going to be the latter, not the former, and Sam will be somewhere else next year. How about yourself?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's hard to say that, but this team has talked about a plan for a long time. You know, Kwesi and his staff, they're always talking about a plan. It seems like they're always thinking about not just next year, but they're looking down the road. They've always got the big picture in mind. And the big picture in mind is not overpaying or paying a lot of money at the quarterback position, or really only one position, to hamper what you can build foundationally, depth-wise, for the whole roster. So I think they really, really wanted to shed that Kirk Cousins contract. Now, Sam's not going to get probably anywhere close to that, but he's still going to get north of $35 million a year, probably into the $40 million a year. And you're sort of slowly going back into that world where you don't have a lot of money to spend in free agency. And this is a draft in 2025 where the Vikings don't have a lot of draft picks. So they're going to have to build through free agency. And so the best way you can do that is to get a high number of value as far as the salary cap, which they do right now. Things are always going to change, but we're going to be major players this offseason in the free agency. And I think they want to keep it that way so that, again, they can build the totality of the roster.
And I know you were with the Chargers to start off your career. Does this at all remind you a little Drew Brees, Philip Rivers just happening all over again?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, you got to throw Eli in there because he was a part of that whole you know, mess to begin with, too. I mean, I would remember being on the team and I'm like, why doesn't Eli want to come here? Like, what's so wrong with San Diego? Everything worked out. And yes, if you can go younger at that position and feel like you can still get that high level of play, I mean, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. And I think it's going to be one of those things at the end of the season where everybody shakes hands. Everybody hugs. They say their I love yous. You know, Sam's got to be super appreciative. for the fat contract that KOC helped him get. And the Vikings are going to get a young, you know, hopefully superstar young quarterback, you know, that trails him.
I feel like a part of you, and I know you well, but, you know, I don't totally know everything that Ben Lieber thinks. You would be okay if the Giants have the number one overall pick and Shedeur Sanders kind of gives him a stiff arm and forces his way to the Raiders all these years later. Is that a fair statement?
Sure. I like the high level of drama. I think it'd be kind of fun, you know, but then what happens with the head coach? I mean, is the head coach like this? Is he gone if he goes to the Raiders and all of a sudden his dad comes in? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's a soap opera that I'm willing to watch.
I think Antonio Pierce, this is a big misnomer. I think a lot of people believe Dion's going to follow Shedeur. I think that's going to be a year or two from now. They'll let the current coach be in there. And then usually a lot of these teams are in that spot because they're bad and they're going to be needing a new coach anyway. So I think that's a year or two away from seeing Shedeur and Dion link back up on an NFL sideline.
No, I like that train of thought too. And I really think for Shedeur, it's probably the best case scenario. I mean, in the NFL locker room is a lot different than college. You know, you really, really have to prove yourself to earn people's respect. And if you feel like it's a level of nepotism and you feel like you're getting coddled a little bit because of your daddy, then, you know, it's going to be harder for the guys to rally behind you.
Last thing I'll ask you, Ben Lieber, when you get to future Sam destinations, if this goes the way that we think it's going to go, hey, Geno Smith has done a good job, right? The last few years with Seattle, reinventing himself in this fraternity of former Jets quarterbacks that didn't work out in New York. He's older, though. He's 34. He got a year left on his contract. I look at the Seahawks as that would be a good landing spot for Sam.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I think they'd have to do something differently with their offensive coordinator. You know, they don't have a high number of play action pass. That's something that Sam's really, really good at. I think it's going to have to fit his style. And I think right now, currently with their offensive coordinator, it's not an off. It very much, obviously, he comes from University of Washington. I'm watching the tape. I see the game yesterday in Seattle, and I'm like, this looks like a college offense. And I don't know if that's the best fit for Sam. So I have a crazy theory that he's going to end back up in LA with the Rams. I know that Stafford is, again, playing really, really well in the month of December, late November, just like he did last year. But he has a gigantic cap value, something like $60 million. If they can get out from underneath that and pay the quarterback, a new quarterback, you know, in the way that they can fudge the numbers and get that number significantly down and get a young quarterback that's back in LA that fits the system, then I think that's the best landing spot for him.
That'd be really something. Ben Lieber, part of the Vikings radio network, former Vikings linebacker, has a football team that could be getting the number one seed in the NFC. If I had to ask you right now, rank the three best teams in the NFC. 1, 2, 3, how would you rank them?
Vikings, Eagles, Lions.
Ooh, the Lions down in that number three spot. The injuries?
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is what you think is going to do, man?
Yeah, you know, obviously their offense can score 1,000 points a game, but you know, I think you look at the way the Vikings can spin the ball down the field and score some points too. If it has to come down to a shootout, then it has to come down to a shootout. But I trust our defense more than theirs.
Ben, happy holidays. Enjoy the ride the rest of the way. We appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man. Same to you.